yesterday on Facebook and he says, God looks like Alex Ferguson. Well, if God looks like a red-faced Scotsman chewing chewing gum, we're absolutely snookered. So he doesn't look like, although the image of God is in Alex Ferguson, we don't make God in our image. We're made in his image, yeah? And we've gone over the last couple of weeks describing and painting pictures of who God is, what he's about. And this morning, last week we had a guest speaker. I have another guest speaker for you this week. And Sharon thinks when I pause, I don't know what I'm going to say. So like a good wife, she puts the words in my mouth. Yeah. Take it down, baby. Take it down. Take it down, baby. Don't justify it. Take it down. Actually, last week we told that Sharon spoke in St. Mark's yesterday at Flourish, and I believe that she'd done a tremendous job, and we say, well done, Sharon. So, this week I have my friend Norman come to speak. Norman is one of us. He is studying. He is working in a church out in Skerries, and we've become somewhat good friends over the last 2 years, and getting to know each other and walking with God together. And I have full confidence in this man and what God is doing in his life and what he's going to help achieve in this nation. Norman, this is Liberty. Liberty, this is Norman. Give it up for him.
Well, as you can see, Noel's adjusted this since Gary was here again, so I'm going to have to... Hello, Liberty. I am delighted to be here. I could have just worshipped on there. That was incredible. Well done, worship team, wherever you cleared to. That was brilliant. You're probably wondering, who is this man that is helping in Skerries? He doesn't sound as if he's from Skerries. My name's Norman McCorkle. I am originally from Derry City. I'm living in the south of Ireland now about 2 years with my lovely wife and baby girl at the back. And we're living in Skerries. It's beautiful. You should come visit. Nice and sunny most of the time. And I know Noel from the assemblies. We're part of the network as well that Noel talked about in Dream. And I am on the journey as well, just like Noel. And I just love being in Liberty. I've been here a few times. And I just want to encourage you guys, this church is up for it. Yeah? And you don't get that everywhere. You don't get that everywhere. So I want to encourage you guys is to keep that fervent spirit of God in the house, because Paul says in the Bible to be fervent in the spirit. And the word actually in Greek means to boil. Boil. White hot, like a kettle, boil in the spirit. So keep boiling in the spirit. Lift the temperature. Keep going. Get behind Noel and Sharon. This is excellent in the leadership. And it's just a privilege to be able to come here and talk to you guys this morning. I'm going to share from God's word. The word should be on the screen as well. But we're talking this morning about what does God look like? And this may be your first time in Liberty, and you may have some questions about God. And what we're going to do over the next kind of 15, 20 minutes is I'm going to, through God's word, help you guys see more of what God looks like. I'm going to try and contribute to that canvas that Noel has began painting and Gary has began painting as well, so that you can get a picture perhaps of what God looks like. Or perhaps, Noel said this a few weeks ago, maybe you need to repaint that picture. Maybe your picture of God is not good. And I felt about a minute before Sharon got up to speak, identically what she said, I feel there's people in the house this morning who have given up as God their healer. I feel there's people in the house this morning who are heavy, who need healing. and you're loving with the pain, and you're holding God in the box. So we're going to look at God's word this morning. We're going to help repaint that picture. I'm so excited about this. This is exciting. This is God's word. This is the God that created you speaking to us directly through his word this morning. Why we're talking about healing, I think it's important to remember this as well, is we as a country, as a nation in Ireland, we're obsessed with healing. I googled healing in eason.ie yesterday, Eason's website. 1,935 hits on the Eason website. Books like You Can Heal Your Life, Healing with Angels, Healing Spirits. And goodness knows you may have a few of those books in the house. And you may be looking for healing in the wrong places. And this morning we're going to look at God's word. And the passage is from Exodus 15. So if you've got a Bible, please open that. It's the Old Testament, Exodus 15, and we're going to look at 22 to 27. That's Exodus 15, and I'm sure it's been preached in here lots of times, and I think I've got the words behind me we have. Let me read. Starting at verse 22. Then Moses made Israel set out from the Red Sea, and they went into the wilderness of Shur. They went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. When they came to Marah, they could not drink the water because it was bitter. Therefore, it was named Marah. And the people grumbled against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" And he cried to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a log, and he threw it in the water, and the water became sweet. There the Lord made for them a statute and a rule, and there he tested them, saying, "If you will diligently listen to my voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his eyes, and give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you that I have put on the Egyptians. For I am the Lord your healer." Then they came to Elim, where there were 12 springs and 70 palm trees. And there they encamped by the water. And we just thank God for speaking to us so directly from that. So here we have God's people. And I'm sure a lot of you are familiar. I've heard this preached in here in Exodus. God's people who have come out of slavery. They've been enslaved. They've been in bondage. And they've had a breathtaking miracle of rescue through the waters. The walls were like, the water was like wall. They came through the Red Sea. They've seen their enemies defeated. And they're standing on the banks on the other side. They've rejoiced. They've been dancing. And they start off on a journey, into a dry journey in a wilderness. And there's no water. There's no water. After 3 days, they're grumbling. They're in a dry and bitter place. But here we have God announcing to them that he is their Jehovah Rapha. Some people pronounce it Rapha. There's a bit of nuance there with the Hebrew, but the word means heal or make healthful. So God's saying, "I am your healer. I am your healer." And that's what part of the canvas we're just going to linger in this morning. We're going to paint this for a bit and see what God our healer looks like. The Bible's full of references to healing, but I want to linger in this one because I think it's got something to say to Liberty this morning. I think there's people need to hear this. I want to just look at three ways in this passage. I sat yesterday with an A4 block trying to scribble down what ways God healed in this, but why did he say when the people were grumbling, if anything, he should have given that clip in the ear. He just brought them through a miracle. He just brought them out of years of darkness and plagues and death. And they started grumbling. I thought, Lord, why would you, like, Father, if it was me, I'd probably do a bit of that and say, come on, you know, waking up. But here we have Almighty God. Verse 25a. Three ways I want to look at how God declares and how God is Jehovah Rapha. In verse 25, we have Moses crying to God. Moses crying out and saying, Lord, what am I to do? The people are turning against me. You've just brought us through. What's going on? We've no water. We're thirsty. We're in a dry place. We're in a bitter place. What are we doing? And God shows him in 25, the first part of 25, he shows him a log. He provides a miracle. He provides for his people. But the essence of this, yes, there's a miracle, and yes, God gives them water to drink. But notice this about God. They're in a dry and bitter place. They've come out of slavery. They've been treated harshly. It actually says that back in Exodus, first chapter, that they were bitter. They were bitter because of the workload. They were being hammered and driven harder by the Pharaoh. And they're crying to God. And God answers them gently. God provides sweetness for their grumbling. He exchanges gentle, because you know why? He knows that they've had a hard life. He knows that they're bitter. And he begins their healing by a gentle answer. It says in Proverbs 15 that a gentle answer turns away wrath. And this is the God that we serve. This is the God that we have. Maybe you've been spoken to harshly all your life. Maybe your spirit is bitter. But the God that we serve and worship today wants to talk sweetly to help your healing. He wants to begin that healing in you by talking over you, telling you he loves you. He wants to provide sweetness. He wants to exchange your bitterness and give you sweetness. He provided miraculously for their bitterness. He provided for their physical needs. They were dry and thirsty, weary. God provided. And also in doing so, I think it's quite miraculous that he actually started to rub out their emotional memories, because their bitterness before would have been met with harshness. More harshness by their enslavers. What does God do? He loves them. And by doing so, he starts to bring about emotional healing. Emotional healing. Physical healing. Healing the relationship between he and his people. I think this is beautiful. Second way, healing protection. So we've got healing, a healing response. Second way that God is Jehovah Rapha and this our healer, is healing protection in verse 25, second part of verse 25 and 26a. The Lord lays down rules, statutes, he calls them, laws. He kind of lays down the law. See, they're on a journey to a place called Sinai, but back here, he's given them a foretaste of laying down things that will actually help protect them, help protect their relationships, help protect the way that they worship. And because they came out, they were wild, they're probably just coming out of a place where there was no structure. Moses was doing his best. They were up, they were down, they were grumbling, they were crying. So God intervenes again with protection for them. And he says, if you obey my word, I will heal you. If you obey what I tell you, again, through his word, through his voice, if you're attentive to my ear, God says to his people, I will heal you. This is all part of a healing process. God has them in a process of coming through slavery and then bringing them into a new season of healing. Healing them all the way. Healing them by his words. You see, the people of God would have had lots of memories of darkness and death from their past. The last two plagues that were sent, they were in Egypt. There was darkness and there was death. And with that, there would have been a sense with God's people here in this passage of vulnerability. They had no protection in Egypt. They were very vulnerable. But yet God shows them through love, sets down, said, this is the way we're going to live. I'm going to set up my standards. And by this, you're going to be healed. We're going to set standards out of love. Out of love. God shows his people that he deals with them differently now that they are under his full protection. He deals with them differently. And this is the God that we have. This is the God that exchanges bitterness for sweetness. This is a forgiving God, a loving God, gentle God who cannot lie. Third way I want to look at this is healing promise. Verse 26, second part of verse 26 and 27. For I am the Lord your healer. God declares at this point that he is their Jehovah Rapha. He is their healer. He is their deliverer. He is their savior. He is their king. But he is their healer. And I thought, Lord, why declare at this point that he is their healer? Why did they need to hear that? What was so significant about that? God shows them. He declares after giving them protection. And he provides for them. And now, as he declares this, the next part we read is that he brings them to a place called Elim. And this place, Elim, I would love to be there. It sounds like scary. 12 springs of water and 70 palm trees. And there they encamped by the water. So God brings them to a place and said, I am your healer, and I'm going to show you a little foretaste. I'm going to show you a little foretaste of what it's like to live in healing. Out of the bitterness and dryness, I'm going to bring you into a brand new place. It's like a foretaste of the future. He wants to show them a little bit of the promised land. I want to show you what it's like to allow me to be your healer. To allow me. It's a bit like Emily and I were using vouchers. Who knows what pig's back is? Pig's back, free vouchers. Yeah. Pig's back is, we were in a restaurant the other night. Someone actually took us out, and the lady in the restaurant said that the vouchers were going like hotcakes. People were loving it because it was allowing it was a win-win because people were enjoying a meal, but also it was allowing the restaurants to show off, to give people a little foretaste of what the restaurant is like. Here's what we can do. And that's what God is doing here. He's bringing to a new place and showing you, I am your healer. If you let me heal you, I will bring you into a place of rest. I will bring you into a place of refreshing. I will bring you into a place where you can rest and love me and let me speak gently. Let me love you. Let me take that bitterness from you and give you back sweetness. You see, it says in the Bible, in the other end of the Bible, New Testament, that God cannot lie. What I'm presenting to you is complete and absolute truth. This is the God that we serve. He is a healer. He is the healer. He is the Jehovah Rapha. These three ideas that I've brought to you this morning, I want to summarize them for you because now we've began to paint the picture. But let me loop this in to a close because you see, the healing response that we find in Jehovah Rapha, the question is today, let's not get away from it. What does God look like? What does God look like? And the Bible shows us what God looks like. Let me start by saying healing response. God responded to us in grace the same way as humanity. A bit like the way he did with his people. He exchanged their bitterness for sweetness. That's called grace. That's unmerited favor. It's giving us something that we frankly don't deserve. But God done the same thing with Jesus. He gave us Jesus, and we don't deserve Jesus. We don't deserve what he done on a cross because Jesus comes and makes our bitter lives sweet. Jesus quenches our eternal thirst. It says in Ecclesiastes that God has put eternity in the hearts of men. We have an eternal thirst that can only be met by Jesus. Jesus comes as well, and I think this is important. I feel this is the arrow for someone this morning. I feel that Jesus wipes away our emotional memories. Just the way the people had come out of a place where there was a bad, negative emotional memories of slavery and bitterness and dryness. They just came out of darkness and plagues and death. But Jesus responds to us healingly. It says in Hebrews 9:14, and Noel preached recently, so I was here, the blood of Christ purifies our consciences from dead works. The blood of Christ purifies our consciences from dead works. Maybe there's something playing in your head this morning on a 52-inch widescreen plasma of stuff of dead works, things that you've done, bad emotional memories that someone's done to you. I'm here to tell you straight that God's your healer. I'm here to tell you that God's your healer. He declares that over you today. God is your healer. And by the blood of Christ, his son sent to die for you, he's willing to cleanse that away. All those dead works, all that dross, take it and kick it away. Gone. Out of the house, out of your head, out of your life, out of your marriage, out of your children's relationship, the whole lot. Second thing, what does God look like? What we see from healing protection. Again, we see Jesus. God has given us healing protection through his word, the words which he spoke over the people, the healing words, the laws that he set down, by his word, by listening to his word and obeying his word, they would be healed. And it says in the New Testament, in the book of John, if you read, that Jesus is the word of God. Jesus is the, there's a fancy word called the Logos. He is the very word of God. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. He is actually God. It says Jesus in the beginning, Jesus was with God and he was God. He is the very word of God. See, through Jesus, we're protected from the plagues of our past. And no longer should we worry about living in darkness. If we follow and obey God's word, if we love our neighbors as ourselves, he will protect us. Jesus wasn't kidding around whenever someone asked him, what's the greatest command? Jesus said, love God basically with everything and love your neighbor as yourself. See, that command will protect and heal us. That will protect the most bitter relationship in here today. I guarantee you of that. The most dry and bitter relationship, love. The love of Jesus, the love of Jesus in you and through you, that will heal that today. I'm confident of that. I think this passage is speaking specifically as well. This meets physical needs, but I think bitterness is something that has been pressed in here today. Relational bitterness that will destroy you. It almost destroyed me. Someone done something to me a few years ago, and the anger that I had, I wanted to wipe them off the face of the planet. I was so angry. I was bitter. Angry, and I never let God deal with that. You know, the actual root word of that in the scripture is traced right into Job, to illness and sickness. And I just want to see you released today if you're holding bitterness through the power and blood of Jesus today. Jesus is here. Jesus didn't come to do a half-assed job. He came to wipe out all your sin. And he is here and able and with us. And that's who we're worshiping here. Jesus. Last thing. The healing promise. Again, what does God look like? Well, we see in Elim, the place that God's people came to. Again, we see this in Jesus. In Jesus, we have refreshing, times of refreshing. We have shelter. He's our rock. And in Christ, in Jesus, we find the rest that God's people did. We find the rest. We enter in to God's rest. God created the world in 6 days, and on the seventh day, on the Sabbath, we rest. And by coming to Christ, by allowing Jesus to be our master, we enter into that rest. And I guarantee you, if you've got bitterness and there's stuff that needs healed, I guarantee you do not have rest. I've been there. I've been there. And this morning, it's time to let this go. It's time to release this in your heart. It's time to release this bitterness in your heart. Specifically in this passage, we see the people grumbling against leadership. Maybe there's a problem of authority in your life. Maybe you've got a problem with authority. Jesus comes to root that out and exchange that for rest and shelter and love and gentleness and sweetness. This is the God we have. This is Jehovah Rapha. God's declaration that he is our healer means that he heals us physically. It means he heals us emotionally. It means he heals us relationally. It means he heals us psychologically. It means that he heals our souls. He heals our souls forever and ever and ever and ever. This is the gospel that we preach. This is the gospel. This is the reason why Noel and Sharon come out here to start a church. This is the reason why we turn up and turn on lights and prepare sermons to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, our healer. Because we believe with all our heart there's a better way for your life. There's a better way for your life. The stuff that's inside doesn't belong on you. God wants to come and heal and exchange that and bring you into his kingdom. Bring you into a place of refreshing. Bring you into that place that you always knew existed. Jesus said it himself. You know this full well. Luke 4, 18 and 19. Jesus came to proclaim good news to the poor, liberty to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, liberty for those who are oppressed, and the Lord's favor. This is what Jesus has came to do. This is what Jesus came to do for you and all of humanity. God came to fix a problem that started back in Genesis 3. Where you've got sin and stuff and relational breakdown. You're sick. Your mind's not right. God, Jesus steps in to heal that, to make you right, to take you into the promised land, to take you to the place that you always knew existed in your heart and soul. But you've got to allow him to do that. He'll only do it if you be obedient to his word. And by doing that, you get released. God's promise as our Jehovah Rapha also means, very importantly, that healing only comes through God. Only comes through God through Jesus. It doesn't come by man. It does not come by angels. It does not come by faith healers who pray and take money and wear nice suits. It comes by an almighty God and a man called Jesus Christ. He does not want us to look anywhere else today. There is no other way to be healed of our darkness and our sin. Jesus is the only way. Do you know what it says in the book of Isaiah? And some, I'm not sure who it was, read it earlier on. It's the famous picture that's painted of the suffering servant. And let me just read that to you really quick. Isaiah 53:5. Just one verse of it. Jesus, but he was pierced for our transgressions, our sins, our filth. And he was crushed for our iniquities, our dirt. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. And by his wounds, we are healed. Jesus has already paid a penalty. See, Jesus is God, and he came and hung and was whipped and was beaten so that we could be healed, so that we could be brought into that way of life, that communion with each other, that relational beauty that we can have, and our relationship back with God again, that healing relationship. And it says that we can have that healing if we pray and confess to God and believe in our hearts that he done this for us. Make him Lord. Make him the Jehovah Rapha, the healer of your life. So, my turn up here this week. What does God look like? It's quite simple. God looks like Jesus Christ, the Son of God, prophet, priest, king, savior, redeemer, friend. That's what God looks like. He looks like our healer. But my question is this morning, I know Noel, we want to linger a few minutes after this. I want to ask you this morning is, what needs healing in your life? You don't need to carry what you're carrying. That pain does not belong in your life. You do not need to carry that sack of spuds every single day. You do not need to cry with your husband and your wife in bed at night. Christ has provided a better way for us to live. God is our healer. And I want to ask you this morning is to consider this over the next few minutes. Do you need the bitterness removed? Do you need to be moved into the Elam, out of the dry place? Is there physical needs? Are you thirsty? Is there psychological issues? Is the enemy running rampant with you, putting stuff on widescreen? Or is it spiritual? Do you need healed from the stuff in your life, the sin, the brokenness, the separation from God, the loneliness? Christ declares to you today that he is Jehovah Rapha. He is your healer today. And as we've been talking, I don't know what box you come in here with. I don't know what you've been thinking about what God is like. But I would just tell you to drop kick your expectations of the God you come in with and put on this God in Isaiah, this God in Exodus who declares, I am your healer. I am your healer. God cannot lie. He cannot lie. And I want to read to you just a quick passage out of James 5, if I can find it now in this Bible. Back in the New Testament, the book of James says, is any one among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders, the spiritual leaders of the church, and let them pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord Jesus. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up or her. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, listen to this, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. God is firing out stuff, as Noel said this morning. What are you going to pick up here? God is putting himself on display as your healer this morning. Are you going to allow him to be that? Are you going to allow him to give you sweetness for bitterness? Are you going to allow him to do that? What's interesting about this, just as a close, is the first part of this passage tells us if we're sick and in need, the first part has to come from you. It says to pray. The elders can stand up here and pray all they like, but if you ain't praying inside and you ain't willing to exchange this, so I'm just going to, before I ask Noel to come and invite people and whatnot, I just want to pray with you. I want to allow you some time. I just want to linger in this. Father, there's people in this house this morning that need to confess to you. Father, there's people that need to confess to one another about the bitterness they've been harboring and the resentment in order to bring healing. And Father, as we pray together now in your presence, Lord, we ask you to come and heal us. By your stripes, by your wounds, Lord, we are healed. Lord, we claim that for the house this morning. Father, we invite you to come and take this dry bitterness and exchange it for your beauty and sweetness. We're so needy, God. We are so needy. And Father, we declare this morning that we believe your word, that you can heal us emotionally, psychologically, physically, relationally, and Father, crucially, spiritually. Father, we love you. There is none like you. We worship you. And we declare that you are our Jehovah Rapha. You are Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, Savior, and King. Amen. Amen.
Okay. Thank you, Norman. Do you know what I love about last week and this week? God has given us opportunities, and because he's getting us prepared for something new. And I'm not going to labor any more on this, but just that, as Norman says, there's an onus on us to respond to God. And we want to pray for you this morning. I brought my oil in. I read James 5 as well. And as leaders and our ministry team, we want to pray. And we want to release God's healing. And what God has said to you this morning, bring it with you when you come up front. Bring it with you. You know, it's amazing that what... Last week with the father stuff, a man came to me afterwards and he says, "No, I thought I dealt with everything. But during the preaching, the Lord just sore for something. Why? Because God wanted to heal me." That's what he said. That's the only reason he does it. He doesn't do it to torment us. And he wants to do this morning. And I want to just give you the opportunity to respond to God and for us to pray with you that bitterness, that brokenness of body or mind or spirit, wherever it is, that we want to do what the Bible says, anoint you with oil. And this is what the Lord put on my heart. It's that there's people here. You know, during the week, it was like a light went on after talking to somebody that in Ireland we're obsessed, not only with the healing stuff, we're obsessed with dead people. We're obsessed. We're absolutely, you know, like in some of our tradition in our country, we have like special services for dead people. We're told to pray for dead people, that we're never released from the grief. And if grief is not allowed to go through its proper process, it becomes a bondage. That we get held at the bed where our loved ones died, or the coroner's office, or the graveyard, or we're held in a place, and we wonder why there's sickness, and we wonder why there's all this stuff going on in us. It's like there's a blockage on us. And I just believe God wants to heal grief this morning. And don't sit and think of the obvious people in this house. But allow the Lord to deal with something and heal something in our spirit. That thing that died, that person, that circumstance, that you're still at the graveyard And God wants to take you away from the graveyard. Even the graveyard of your youth, where you think you died, something died in you when you're younger. As long as you're there, you're going to stay in the dead place. But he wants to bring you out of that place and heal you and heal us of stuff. Amen.